This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local here in downtown Green Bay. This is the show that does what it says. We talk about what's going on locally here. And that's not to say we're not interested in what's going on nationally or statewide, but some of that, a lot of that's covered by our national media and our local media. But to drill down on what's going on in the greater community of Green Bay here, that's what this show does. And as those of you who are regular listeners, you know, on the first Sunday of every month, we focus our energies on the NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers. We're not all about the Packers, but boy, that's a local asset that we have here and something I like to talk about, but I set it aside for the first Sunday of the month, and we're doing that today. And we've had, you know, those of you who've tuned in, we've had Aaron Popke on here. We've had, you know, the Discovery Green Bay on here just talking about this NFL draft. But finally, I got the guy I wanted in here. Rich Ryman, who anybody who knows how to read, knows this guy. He's been writing for the Press Gazette for over 25 years. He's won a gazillion different awards for his writing. And about 10, 11 years ago, the Press Gazette wanted him to just focus solely on the Green Bay Packer organization and really the non-football operations. I mean, I don't know what you know about football, Rich, but I mean, you do a great job of covering it. And he's in the paper every day. I mean, even this week, I was reading a couple articles about that you've written. Everything from the statues to the lease to the draft to what the coaches are selling their homes for. I mean, you cover it all. And welcome.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here.
It's good to be here.
Yes, we used to spend some time together.
A little bit.
Rich covered the business of the city of Green Bay, and when I was mayor, he would come in often and nosing around for what we were working on. So
we're a little more friendly now.
I just, it wasn't like we weren't friendly. I just, you know, didn't want to tell you everything because I wasn't sure. How's things going? How do you like this Packer gig?
It's a good gig. It's probably the best job in the NFL, at least for, you know, non-sports writer.
Yeah. And there's so much going on.
The 10 years ago that we started doing this was good timing because the Packers had just started building things everywhere. So there was a lot of business stuff, but now with the draft going on and the lease arguments and all of that, and them having a pretty good year, there's a ton of stuff.
So let's talk about that. And there's so many things that I want to kind of try to stay on track here, but in terms of having a pretty good year, they're having a great year, right? I mean, the revenue was over $600 million. And that's right. Pretty good. They made over $60 million profit. That's pretty good. 10% going to the bottom line. And they're using that money. I mean, they have to pay the team, the players, and I don't know what the salary cap is, $200, $225 million. But they have some money to expand their operations outside of football.
They do. The TV contracts covered the players' expenses and had some left over.
Yeah, I think I want to hear from you. I don't mean to interrupt. It was $400 million they got from the TV contract, and I think they have that cap and collar, and I think the salary cap it's not $300 million.
No.
It's nice to have $100 million of profit guaranteed.
Yeah, they come out ahead, even if they don't do anything at all.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, they made $60 million profit. And I've always argued that with the Packers, how much profit they make is really not of consequence. It's really how much revenue they bring in, because they don't pay dividends. They don't have to put any money outside of the organization. Right. So profit can be whatever they want it to be.
Because it's internal.
Whereas it could be a dollar and they'd still be ahead, as long as they're using all that money for stuff they need.
Are they, my experience with the Packers, and they were a great partner, and we've been talking on this, this Mayor and the Minor show about you learn in school, in business school, government school, to build these power wheels. And if you really want to get something done, like in the city of Green Bay, the power wheel, if like the convention center, you really want to get the Oneidas on board, you want to get the Packers on board, the Chamber, it's nice to have them on board, and you get this stuff, and it's just so much easier to get done. Dealing with the Packers, that wasn't always the easiest about getting information. And are you? Do you have an inside track there? Is it pretty much the same?
Because it's always a challenge. We've always said the Packers are better than organized crime at keeping things quiet.
Yeah, I mean, actually dealing with those guys like dealing with the mafia, yeah. Right?
Because if you want to keep working for the Packers, if you're an employee, or if you want to be on good terms with the Packers, you don't talk about things they tell you not to talk about.
Right.
So it's always a challenge.
However, if there's someone who has got the inside track, it would be you. Do you have an office there?
The paper has an office there. I don't.
You work for the paper. They have an office there. Nobody from the paper works over there except you. So I think you have an office there.
Well, the sports guys use it probably more than I do.
I see. Okay, that's right. The
press gazette. But it's a good place to hang out on game days.
I bet. So the Packers, I want to get back to this NFL draft. But before I do, even without the draft, these guys they've been doing quite well over the last 10 years. There was a time where, wasn't there a time back in 2002, 3 that it was like, oof, are these guys going to make it?
Well, yeah. I mean, Bob Harlan pushed the stadium renovation for that very reason. They had done their projections, and their projections told them that within, I forget the exact number, maybe 5 years, they're going to be out of money. They needed much more than just a stadium that they could use 10 days a week. Now, that worked. I mean, the stadium is used now practically every day of the year.
Yeah.
For one thing or another. But they also coincided with the NFL's exploding TV contracts. So that didn't, you know, that plays a big part in all of this, too.
Well, the most significant.
Right. It's the biggest source of income they have.
Oh. Pretty cool, the NFL. And I know, you know, you look at what's going on in baseball right now. I mean, it the two wealthiest teams are in the World Series, and I mean they would love to have that. I think they would love to have the same deal that the Packers had. This whole revenue sharing, cap and collar, expenses and revenues, and I think even though we are by far the smallest market, right?
Absolutely.
Like
Jacksonville, I think, is next, and they're like double our size.
Right. And I think that's great because I do think, you know, these smaller markets, and I'm glad they protected that. You've written a ton of stories on the Packers, and I want to get to the NFL draft, but I'm going to do that after the break. I want to talk about some of your other stories that I read your stuff all the time. I really do, Rich, more than I did when you covered me. I wrote you an email one time. You don't remember this, but you go so far as to cover coaches when they sell their homes.
Yep. And players.
And I remember writing to you, I said, Rich, come on, who cares? And I think you wrote back and said, you wouldn't believe the number of clicks we get on that.
It's huge. Our readers want that stuff. I mean, it's a variety of things. We treat it as a business story. It is, you know, real right. estate sales are business stories. And if you look at houses in whatever category that these are in, whether it's $1 million or 500,000, it gives you a view into how the houses in that area are doing in this market. So it's a business story in that respect. You know, how long have they been on the market? That is a business story. Yeah. But also it's lifestyles of the rich and famous. Let's be serious. You know, fans love to read the stories. More so they love to look at the photos.
Yeah.
Because they get to see what these houses look like.
Speaking of real estate, they buy real estate, these Packers.
Oh, yeah.
And where do you get that information? Because you seem to be a little bit ahead of it.
Well, it's all public record. For instance, when they bought Green Bay Distillery, last week.
Right.
That was filed on a statewide report, which one of my colleagues at the Journal Sentinel keeps a close eye on. So if he happens to see something like that, he'll let me know. Otherwise, you know, social media is another place where you'll see somebody saying, hey, the Packers just bought whatever. Sometimes they haven't yet. They're talking because they've heard something from somebody. But it all shows up eventually in right. the Brown County land records.
Eventually it will. It seems like you are the first to report that.
Well, I try to stay on top of it.
I think you do a pretty good job. When it comes to that, and they say, well, we're not going to change anything. We're going to buy this gas station. But it's still going to stay a gas station. We're going to buy this. Still, but there's got to be a master plan behind those acquisitions.
Yeah, I would think so. But that's one of those things where getting them to tell you before they're ready to, they just are not going to do that. You know, for now, they say, well, it just gives us flexibility.
Right.
Well, it certainly does. I mean, they've almost got all of Mike McCarthy Way, you know, right across from the right. Ray Nitschke Field and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what they plan on doing with that, but they don't want anybody else to own it either, I think.
Do you think it's going to be, and they haven't really shared, but you look at the Cowboys. They practice up in Frisco, in Dallas. They don't really, their training facility is used for soccer. It's unbelievable what they have there. I mean, it's like, I'm just wondering, but you don't know anything more than I do on what their plans are long term for this land.
Not long term. I have heard, and this is just rumor, that they considered one time building like a new Don Hudson Center kind of facility,
right,
south of the stadium, where if you're a regular Packers fan, Lot 9 and Lot 10 are, which is that grassy area across yeah. from the parking lot. They've never told me that, but certainly they own enough land there now. They could do that if they wanted to.
Yeah. Interesting to see the business side of it. And one of the biggest things on the business side is the NFL draft. And how we got that, I just think, is just a coup. And I want to talk your thoughts on that and where you think that's all going to go here in the Greater Green Bay Committee. We are talking with Rich Ryman, the writer of the Green Bay Press Gazette, who is focused 100% on the Green Bay Packers and especially the non-football, more the business side of it, which is very interesting. And we're going to be right back, talk a little bit more about the business side of the Packers as well as the NFL draft that's coming up. Stick around, Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Dreamer, baby, if I stopped, it would make the show.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Everyone, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and we have in-house Richard Ryman from the Green Bay Press Gazette, who has been with the Press Gazette for a long time, covering the business side of the Greater Green Bay community and many other things. And really the last 10, 12 years has been focused solely on the business side of the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, Rich, when you look at the Green Bay Packers, revenue, $600 million, that's real. That's a good number. You look out the window, those guys are like $6 billion. KI is a billion. There's a lot of companies bigger than the Green Bay Packers, yet nobody carries the clout of the Green Bay Packers.
None of those companies are on TV 17 Sundays a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's, you know, a huge part of it. And the Packers are just so interwoven into the culture of Green Bay that, Schreiber, everybody knows Schreiber, they know Schneider, but the Packers are the Packers.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you look at that. And Schneider, that's a good example. I mean, huge company, and Orange Trucks are all over the United States. I mean, it's the largest, trucking world in the free world, largest trucking company in the free world. Yet, all over the world, and I mean all over the world, you can go to Kuwait, Jerusalem, you tell you from Green Bay, and they know the Packers. I tell you what, I had no idea they were that well known. I'm not kidding you. And that was 2002, 2003. Just the footprint they have.
I was in London for the game there 2 years ago. And on the Saturday before that game, when people across Europe, it was their weekend too, I talked to Packers fans from practically every country in Europe that day.
And they knew the Packers.
Oh, they know. Some of them know more about the Packers than Packers fans here, because they have to work harder to be Packers fans. So they've learned all of this stuff recently.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very respectful place, but it's also a pretty powerful place too, in terms of the reach that they have. And
Think
what I like about the Packers, and maybe you've traveled more internationally with the Packers than I have, but when people hear about Green Bay, they think good things, don't they?
Oh, yeah. The Packers, particularly, you'll hear this from South American fans or European fans. One of the reasons that they decided they wanted to be Packers fans is because the structure of ownership is a lot more like their soccer clubs.
Yeah.
And that they're community-owned or fan-owned or whatever, but there's not a billionaire owner. And that seems to resonate with fans from the other countries. And American fans, too.
And I think we're a small community. I still think they still see us as a lot of church steeples and smokestacks. And
we're quaint, and it's right. And in a good way.
I remember back in the day when John Madden would cover the Packers, and they would do the cutaways, before a commercial. And they'd have this, cow in the field. And I didn't like that, right? I'm trying to rebuild our downtown. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think people lean into that quaintness.
They do. I mean, all of those things that they, I think, envision as being Wisconsin, when they see a brief clip on a national game that reinforces that, they like it.
It does, man. Okay. You take everything that's happened, the community owned and actually the financial success, the quaintness. Got a real coup with this NFL draft.
It's a big deal. The Packers pursued it with, determination. Mark Murphy really wanted this, and he's got contacts and friends at the NFL. But even at that, it took him 5-6 years before the NFL agreed.
Right.
The NFL is probably as political a body as there is in the world. And for the Packers to navigate those politics and eventually get it here, that it may never happen again, but we'll get it once.
And there are some people, I'm not one of them, but can we do this?
I think so. I mean, for one, the NFL is going to be in charge of this. It's their draft and they make all the rules, for better or worse. And from my standpoint of covering it, probably worse, but because they control everything. But they're going to set it up. They're going to determine the breadth of it. They're going to make everything work. So to that extent, we're benefiting because we don't have to do it except provide some of the money and a lot of the workers.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, and it's true what you just said. Aaron Popke was a guest on the show 2 months ago and was very clear to tell us that this was an NFL program. And here's the guy that, he's way up there in the organizational chart and kind of acquiesce that, they're in charge and we're going to work with them.
Takes a lot of the risk out of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think the other risk is how many people are going to show up. And I don't think we have to worry about that. This is the draft and it's not had any problem attracting people.
So the number's around 250, right? That's the number you read about. I think you even reported that.
But the way they count it matters. It's every time you go into the NFL's footprint, where you have to go through the scanners and whatever, they count you. I could get counted five times in a day because I, you know, in and out, in and out. So it's not going to be like 250,000 unique individuals necessarily. It could be 80,000 people, the same 80,000 people 3 days in a row.
That wasn't my understanding. I thought that when they use the estimates of 500, 750, it's like, okay, now that's the double, triple counting because they're coming to it, but that they thought there were going to be 250,000 bodies here. You're not hearing that?
Well, it was explained to me the other way.
Okay.
And I hope I'm right.
Do I hope you're right? I think I love challenges like that. I want to talk about that when we come back from the break. I just think there's a lot of opportunity for people to do a lot of things. And you're going to be covering, I just want to talk about the business side of the NFL draft. I mean, it's going to be great. People are going to be, you know, so-and-so from this team is going to get drafted. And I couldn't tell you three people who are going to be drafted, but I can tell you three people who are going to make a hell of a lot of money. And I think that's pretty cool.
And, you know, we can talk about this. I think we've got a break coming up, but we can talk about this after too. There's a certain restriction as to how many people are going to be able to get here on a given day. And it's hotel rooms and distances and stuff. So we can talk about that too.
Are you surprised? Let me just ask you, a guy who covered the Packers for 25 years and really the last 12, are you surprised we got the draft?
Not really, only because the Packers kept telling me that they were very confident we would get it. And I've dealt with them enough to know when they talk to me like that.
It's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Have they told you they're going to win the Super Bowl? All right. Hey, we're here with Rich Ryman. We're talking the business side of the Green Bay Packers. Really going to focus our next segment on the NFL and some of the economic opportunities for greater Green Bay, as well as you as listeners. How maybe we can lean into this too. Stick around. Lean Local, Jim Schmidt.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. City on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Lean Local. This is the first Sunday of the month, and as those of you who listen regularly, the first Sunday of the month, we dedicate toward the NFL draft and Green Bay Packers. There's so much more going on here locally, but that is a huge part of our area, of our economy, and of our future. And we brought in today someone who I've been wanting to get on the show for some time, Rich Ryman. And Rich Ryman has been with the Press Gazette for over 25 years. Really 10, 11, 12 years ago, they focused his energy 100% on the Green Bay Packers. And he says he doesn't have an office there, but he's there every day and covers the Packers non-football operations. And there's so much going on. As Rich said earlier, you know, by far the smallest market, yet a team that's profitable and is making money and continues to grow their non-football operations. And any good business would do that, right? I mean, you got to diversify your products.
Well, like their purchase this week of Green Bay Distillery, they wouldn't say how long the lease is for, but I'm guessing the guy that owns Green Bay Distillery wouldn't have sold it unless he got a guaranteed deal for a good long time.
Right.
If the NFL goes on strike or has a lockout, the Packers are still going to have income.
Right.
From Green Bay Distillery or those businesses in Titletown and stuff. That just makes sense.
It really does. And I don't know what the future holds. They rely very heavily right now on TV revenue. I mean, that's 75% of their income.
They'd be in trouble without TV revenue and then without profit sharing.
Right.
Or revenue sharing.
Revenue sharing, say. Yeah.
You know, Bob Harlan and John Underwood always used to say that was part of the three things they needed was revenue sharing and a salary cap. And I can't remember what the third one was,
right,
but probably TV revenue. I mean, those things made the Packers competitive.
As a fan and as someone, and you're both, you cover the Packers and you're a fan. You've been a fan forever with these guys. Are you surprised at some of these contracts you read, these salary contracts? Do you ever think to yourself, is this sustainable? I mean, is the bottom going to fall out of this or can we do this?
You know, contracts are not something I know as much about. Sometimes they seem pretty unsustainable. I mean, Deshaun Watson went into a territory that nobody's right. been in before, but you notice nobody followed so far either.
Yeah.
And some of these contracts are huge, but then there's also tends to be ways to get out of them sometimes.
Yeah.
The numbers are big and they for the players, it's right. part of their self-worth, I guess, to have a good contract. But the money doesn't always equate to what it sounds yeah. like.
That's just interesting. And it hasn't been really that long. We were a little bit older, you know, Kyle, who's sitting in with us. And but when you look at that, Bart Starr's last contract, and I know Bart Starr's gone, but his last contract that Bob Harlan signed him to was $100,000.
I remember when Pete Rose was the first $100,000 single hitter and people were appalled.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Con, can you believe that? I mean, that's what we're paying you. It's just crazy. And now these guys are, you know, $42 million, $50
million. I've always said I would have been Brett Favre's backup. Happily for $1 million,
right.
You know, they just save money and I would have never had to do anything.
But even with those salaries and you think, oh my God, how can they afford it? A lot of people have said they wouldn't pay it if they couldn't afford it.
Right.
So, you know, the money's there.
As long as the TV contracts keep increasing right. and as we say TV contracts, but it's also streaming yeah. now. And I mean, there's just all kinds of different ways to get that money in. Yeah.
And I just hope we can keep people in the stadium, but the Packers don't have that problem, do they?
No, not. People are surprised. We are the smallest market. We have the third largest stadium in yeah. the NFL
yeah.
as far as capacity goes.
Right.
And we fill it up, and they have a waiting list of more than 150,000 people who want tickets. it'd be great to be in that position.
Oh, man. You did a story one time. I want to get to the draft. We have a little bit of time, but you did a story one time, the standing room tickets. Did those work? Did that sell?
This year they offered standing room for every game, every home game. And you see them, the Packers say that the tickets are not for resale because they don't want them going to
right.
opposing fans. But if you look on the secondary market, they pop up at several of the places.
I think that's cool that you report on ticket sale prices and kind of game by game.
I do every week. It's not a hard number, but I do it the same way every week. So you can use that as a comparison
right.
to kind of see what the market is. And I use the get-in price, the average get-in price, because it's the only one that
really matters.
That is consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, the higher it's all higher, obviously, if you're going to buy other tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that it gives fans a sense of, you know, what the market's doing, how the Packers are faring as far as the fan interest goes.
Yeah.
And then you've got, like Detroit coming in this week. Expensive.
Yeah. As it should be.
Right. Right.
It's a great game.
It's a big game.
Yeah. It's going on as we speak. Rich, with all that non-football, right? So we got football, non-football. The Packers utilize that the facility that they built. I mean, the atrium, I've had many events there. I've been to many events there. They even lease out the skyboxes for certain things.
They do. I mean, they use the stadium, you know, every way they can. I once joked to Bob Harlan, if you're standing up in the upper part there in the atrium and you look down, the canopies above the doors don't have any advertising on them. And I said, you know, you're missing an opportunity there.
Yeah, they charge you for the air you breathe. But yeah, those events, do you work with the stadium board too a little bit? Talk of concerts. Do you talk about that? I mean, I saw Billy Joel there, Paul McCartney, but boy, those are few and far between.
They are, and I've talked to the Packers about it and stadium board. They're just not as easy to arrange as I think people sometimes think they are. Part of it is because, unlike some other stadiums like Soldier Field, they will hold concerts later in the year, in July and August and whatever. The Packers lease is such that they don't have to do anything there after
June, right?
End of June, basically. Yeah. So if you're going to find a traveling concert that will fit into the window that they have available, which is essentially February to mid-June.
The Stones don't want to play in February?
Yeah, it's amazing that you can't get anybody up here.
But again, I would get back to, but what they did do successfully is they brought the NFL draft here. And the economic impact, and you think we can handle this, and there's going to be well over 250,000 people here. And I know that's what they thought they had in Detroit and I think Kansas City. I think we're more comparable to Kansas City. But the Packers is just so unique.
They are. And I think that's part of what sold them, the NFL, on coming here. I mean, when the networks come here, they always have so much complimentary things to say about Lambeau Field and Green Bay generally. And the NFL knows that.
And the time I spent in office, I'd get so many letters that this was like a bucket list thing.
Right.
Like,
And we have a reputation here, too, for when visiting fans come, our fans treat them well.
Yeah, they do.
And that also reverberates. And I think if you talk to Brad Toll at the Tourism Commission, that's what they're looking forward to from the draft, is that all these people are going to come here. They're going to be treated really well. They're going to have a good time. And that's going to keep reverberating for years to come, in terms of them drawing in all kinds of meetings and conventions and such.
So the draft is coming in April, which is soon. I mean,
very soon.
It really is. I mean, we're going to have, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas. We're going to get into the playoffs, Super Bowls in February, and all of a sudden it's going to be, whoa.
Right.
Next month is 2 months is the draft. What things do you think this community needs to do to get ready? And you've been to drafts too, right?
Actually, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. All right.
And
perhaps because that's cheap.
It'd be nice, but.
Okay, whatever. Any concerns you have as some guy who covers the Packers from a business standpoint every day?
I think that the toughest thing they're going to have to do is just make everybody who's going to be a participant in this know what's going on. You know, the NFL, and we've talked to Detroit people in particular at the Detroit newspaper, because we're part of the same organization, and the NFL can be a little slow sometimes in telling you what's going on.
Yeah.
And I worry that that might be a problem for people to be as ready as they want to be. But I think the Packers are going to push that, and because they want the neighborhood people in particular, because they're going to have to park a lot of cars, or they're going to have the opportunity to. They want the businesses around Lambeau to be ready for this, because, you know, if you want a good impression, there's going to be a lot of people to feed and give drinks to and what have you. This is going to be like three straight Packers games, 3 days in a row. And that's pretty busy.
That's a lot of busy. I mean, you look at the security alone. You look at the volume of food you go through on a Packer game. And I think it's funny. Nashville, the only time they ever ran out of beer was when it was that
Packer fans. Of course.
But I mean, Yeah, you got to get that supply chain down because
and there's the restaurants and hotels here, particularly in wake of COVID, have been having as much trouble as anybody else hiring enough people to right. do all the jobs, and so they're going to have to find ways to manage that.
Little self promotion here. Next, the first Sunday of the month, we dedicate toward the NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers. In the next month, we're going to talk about how to get your bartending license, how to get your Uber license, because I think there's going to be great opportunity for people.
How to get your short-term rental license.
Yes. We have that guy coming on.
Yeah. That's going to be a big part of all of this.
And there's going to come a time where it's going to, if you call them in March, they're going to be like, no.
Right. You need to be planning.
And people
ahead.
Come over and do the inspection. So we're going to talk about all that stuff. But so again, you as a guy that covers it, you have any concerns? Except, I mean, I understand the flow of information is a huge concern, but you're right. Everybody's going to be looking to you.
You know, I think the biggest concern I have is just people finding places to stay. My understanding is the NFL has scooped up about 80% of all the hotel rooms mm-hmm. in town already mm-hmm. for their massive organization and the networks and what have you. So there's not going to be a relatively lot of hotel rooms here.
No.
The short-term rental folks are going to take up a bunch of that. There's going to be some campgrounds available, but it's going to be like the LSU game or the Ryder Cup. They're going to be spread from here to Madison and Milwaukee.
Right. I mean, Elkhart Lake.
Wausau.
Right. But I hope people, and we'll talk about, when we come back, I want to just talk about more what the Packers are doing and what you think they should do, and a little bit more on, you know, how we can showcase our city, our community on the world stage for 4 days. But again, I just want to say that the first Sunday of December, if your kid's away at college, you could rent out that room. I mean, that's up to you to do it, but if you want people in your house,
right.
But I just think there's some great opportunities for people to make a little cash. And I just hope people really do that. We're going to be right back, but the NFL, you're working with the people over at Detroit. They're giving you some.
We've talked to them.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I hope we're doing. I hope Eric's doing that too, because I think you can always learn. And I think that went great. I think all the drafts have gone great, but maybe there's just a little something that didn't get out in the press that they could say, why don't you do this? And I hope we're doing that.
The Packers have been to the draft for like the last six
right,
years.
Right.
So they, I think I have a pretty good handle.
That's
going
to be awesome. Can't wait. All right. Hey, we're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We are here with our very special guest, Rich Ryman, Green Bay Press Gazette, who focuses all his writing on the Green Bay Packers. If I stopped, it would make the show. Can't keep up with my rhythm, though. They keep trying too quick for the lines they throw. I walk to the sound of my own drum. It goes, they go, we go. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, here we go. Feeling in my soul.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. We all deserve to find the peace in this life.
Welcome back, everybody. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. This is the first Sunday of the month where we dedicate our show as much as we want to lean local on politics and everything else that's going on. We really talk about the NFL draft and the Green Bay Packers, and no one better than Rich Ryman, who is a reporter for the Green Bay Press Gazette that focuses on really the non-football operations of the Green Bay Packers, everything from land acquisition, NFL draft, new businesses that the Packers do create and other businesses that they partner with. A couple things, because we don't have as much time as I would like, but other stuff going on in the news too. The lease. Are you?
The lease I've reported on several times.
I know.
That's a big deal. I think it's a big deal for both sides. I mean, certainly the Packers think it's a big deal for them. Mm-hmm. The lease doesn't expire for 8 years, but the collective bargaining agreement does expire in seven, and the Packers just want to have this stuff locked in place because they're always thinking 25 steps ahead.
Exactly. I was wondering what the impetus was for bringing that up. I know it's another 8 years. It's like, really? Why do we have to talk about this today? There's so much else going on. I mean, not that the city has a lot going on too, right? I mean, the public market they're working on, they've got their budget that they're going to start working on. And then this lease thing came up, and that makes sense. They'd like to get ahead of it before the collective bargaining starts. Okay.
I think, you know, that's part of it. I think if with the NFL has proven that having a salary cap and revenue sharing is very good for the league. I mean, it's definitely benefited from that. But they also don't know when all of that may change. It's not set in stone that that's going to be the way the NFL operates for the end of eternity. You're getting private equity firms that are buying into teams now.
Right.
And these are people who are not going to have necessarily the best interests of the NFL at heart. So I think the Packers are trying to prepare themselves for as many eventualities as they can.
Interesting. And I think that will get resolved. I don't, as much as you're writing a lot of ink on that, I wish it wouldn't be in the press.
They say that too. They often say, we don't want to, you know, negotiate this in public just before they start negotiating it in public. But and that's both sides.
It is. All right. So the other thing that is in the news with the Packers, non-football, is this Heritage Trail. And I know you worked on that. And you know Cliff Kristol pretty well, I'm sure.
Cliff and I have talked a lot of times. Yeah. You know? And that's not, I mean, that it's not connected to the lease, but it's also not separate from it right now because it's just part of the animosity between the two sides.
They're not tied together at all. They just coincidentally came up at the same time.
Well, yeah. I mean, to the extent that the Packers and the city apparently were going to get together again on September 19th and kind of start feeling each other out on some lease stuff. Unfortunately, the day before the Packers filed the lawsuit on the Heritage Trail movement. And I think the mayor was offended by that and he called off the talks.
Yeah.
And so now we're back where we were before, which is neither side talking to each other, at least that we know of.
So as a guy who reported it, the Heritage Trail, Packer Plaza, Packers, it's funny, the Packers are suing to keep it there.
Right.
I think that's kind of cool that some people think, ugh, anything they can bring out to Lambeau Land or to Titletown, they're going to bring out there. And here we got $1 million investment that, like, no, we want it to stay there. I think that's great they're doing that. I want that to stay there, right? I mean, I worked on that back in 2010, 11, 12.
Well, there's a hearing Wednesday in circuit court, and because the Packers have mm-hmm. asked that it at least stay there till something is resolved, okay. The city not move it. The city in its lawsuit threatened to pack it all up and store it somewhere and charge the Packers for the privilege. The Packers' argument is that this is where the city told us to put it originally.
That would be me.
We spent, you know, $1 million putting it there. And if they make us move it now, how many more times are they going to make us move it? The city's standpoint is we can get this really good downtown housing development there, and the developers want it to be moved, or at least the city does. So those are the two sides, okay. Basically.
And I think you can do both. All right. Hey, back to the NFL draft. A coup to get that here. You, as a reporter who covers non-football operations, don't have any major concerns. The only big concern you have is make sure the flow of information is getting to who it needs to get to.
That's my immediate concern because it's my job. You know, beyond that, you know, we have handled football games here 10 times a year every year. 80,000 people show up. I mean, more people show up for these games than actually have tickets a lot of times. We're used to people coming from outside because the ACON report that was done, I mean, it's old now, but there's no reason to think that some of the parts of it have changed. They said 80-plus percent of people come from 50 miles or away or farther to each game. So, I mean, we're used to having people come in to the community from outside, bringing their dollars with them, hopefully.
Well, sure, they got to spend the night.
Right.
And that's why I think this whole leasing out your home, renting out your home, renting out a room, I just think, and people are going to, they're going to come here with money in their pocket.
Which is what we definitely want.
Well, and think about it, Rich. You know, how much are Packer tickets? I mean, you cover that, but $150, $100.
I mean, face value is like $150 to $179. I think it's in that range. If you're buying on secondary market, they generally are more.
And for a guy that's been covering the NFL draft, tell our listeners, it's free.
Right. Yes. The NFL the NFL lets you into their area.
Right.
You might have to get sign up for tickets,
right,
but they don't cost you
right
anything.
It's free to see that. So bring your money and just spend it in our local community.
Right.
All right. Hey, I want to get you back as we get closer to the NFL draft, but just thanks for covering all you do. I find your writing really interesting because I love the football, but I love the non-football as well. We follow you. We buy your paper at the Press Gazette. Where else can we follow you?
I'm online at PackersNews.com or GreenBayPressGazette.com.
All right. You're awesome, Rich. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Fun. All right. And thanks for all you're doing to cover a huge entity here in the city of Green Bay and greater Green Bay community, actually statewide. Thanks for listening. This has been Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Our special guest, Rich Ryman from the Green Bay Press Gazette. We will see you next Sunday. Lean Local.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.